Othello holds the cello, but Bob pulls the bow. And Yuba plays the tuba, but plays it very slow. Luciano plays piano, and Doug plays the jug. And Warren plays the French horn while lying on the rug. In my head, there's a band that is playing in my head. In my head, in my head, there's a band that is playing in my head. Manuela plays vihuela, Zoot plays a flute, while Sally's playing glockenspiel in her birthday suit. Myrna plays the zerna, and Chase plays the bass.
Can't get that out of my mind of playing the glockenspiel in your birthday suit. It's very fun. Dean Jones invented doggone fleas in 1999 after a sledding accident left him in bed for a few months. His friends told him that he wrote childish songs, so why not write songs for children? And then he did that. Dean has led many strange bands over the years, all quite childish, visual, unique, and fun. The For Sale by Owner, the Cartoon Orchestra, the Flying Melendas, the Harmonica Virgins, the Fighting Mackenzies, and many more. Doggone Fleas, they have a brand new CD out. It's called Invisible Friends. They're going to be celebrating with a CD release party June 9th at the Rosendale Cafe, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dean Jones to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. The CD is great. I was listening to it on my way home last night, and it's just an awful lot of fun.
That's what we strive for, a little fun, absurdity.
So how long how much time goes into creating that?
That CD, well, this one took a little longer than most. We probably spent 3 years doing it, whereas we've, you know, usually kind of bang them out in about a year.
Yeah.
We finally craft. Well, we try to get a piece that where all the songs kind of work together. We're not just doing singles. We're trying to make it so that all the songs have kind of relation to each other.
So you see a beginning and a middle and an end.
Not exactly. Well, they're all sort of in the same, you know, there's songs that weed themselves out that don't quite have anything to do with the other ones. And this one's really more, you know, about imagination. It's little people and, you know, it's kids. Things that would spark their imagination and absurd little situations and things like that.
Now, you do this on top of working with a lot of other, mm-hmm. On a lot of other projects in music for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are, I would think, keenly aware of what the challenges are in presenting music to children.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's always an ongoing process. You know, we'll even write a song and go out and think, "Wow, this is a great song," and play it in front of kids, and not a great reaction.
A great reaction? Like squirming or just not attentive?
Yeah, inattentive. You know, usually it's just that didn't go over with a big bang.
Yeah.
So when they really start moving, or, you know, people come up after the show and say, "That was a great song," then those are the keepers.
Okay. Yeah. And then you know. And as far as your work, what is it about working for that audience? Because it's ever changing.
Sure. Yeah. Your audience is always growing up and
yeah.
And then you get new ones.
Right. Yeah.
We also try to play for, we do play for everybody too, but yes, it's at a certain age they're like, "Oh my God, not this band." But it's great. Their kids are instantly, you know, they hear a beat and they start moving. And, you know, you can tell that you're sparking something. They start talking about the characters, or, you know, they get into it, mm-hmm. really into it.
When you go out typically the age of the audience is what?
That's a good question. I mean, it can vary. It can vary a lot. A lot of times we'll get to a show and say, "Wow, the audience is really young." You know, 2 and 3 year olds
yeah.
here. And other shows, it's older. We do a lot of elementary schools and events at night where there are, you know, all age kids.
When you're writing, do you think of an age range?
No.
No, it's for you.
Yeah, exactly. I actually just wrote a song on the way up here. Things sort of start coming to me as I'm, if I have any free time.
It rhymes with WMC. So they come to you, and then how do you work them out then?
We all get together. We're a trio, John yeah. Hughes, Chris Cullo, and myself. Yeah. We get together, you know, maybe I'll write a song and say, let's try this out. And sometimes they just come together instantly and we say, "Oh yeah, we got to we got a song here. Other times we struggle with them and then put them away, and then maybe they'll resurface years later or whatever. But usually we'll work it out together, and we'll know if we got a song that we like.
I'm interesting. I was noting this in the on the website and in your biography that you use the word childish, and which often is a negative term, has a negative connotation to it, and you kind of wrap yourself proudly in it, which I applaud you for. I think that's very cool.
Sure. Well, yeah. I guess we're trying to hang on to the childlike things and imagination, and it serves us well.
All that stuff.
Yeah, that stuff. That's the magic, really. It's that's what we're aiming for too, is to create something magical. And it can be magical for adults as well.
Well, yeah, because it brings you back to that time.
Yeah.
And a good tune is a good tune.
Yeah, and like we have another song, I'm just another finger, but they call me the thumb.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten more compliments from adults it's bizarre. And, I think kids like absurdity, and there are adults who appreciate that too.
So. Do you see, when you're performing, do you see smiles? Do you see that when the connection is made, that they get that joke?
Yeah.
And they get that concept.
We will throw in what's that song? I Believe in Miracles. You lovely thing. We'll just change it up a little bit. So we're playing, and adults, you see them go, oh, I can't believe they're playing this, you sexy thing, but changing the words. And we definitely go for the adult, throwing in little jokes for the adults.
And make it fun for them as well. When you're putting together the CD, and as you say, over this 3-year process, that for this particular CD, have you seen any changes in, because we hear all about kids and about attention spans and about what they can handle and what they can and what they should and what they don't. And I don't know how much you buy into any of that.
I don't.
Yeah.
I
well, good for you.
Basically we're trying to make something magical, and hopefully I travel a lot with different theater companies and things, and I'm in schools a lot, and I see school cultures, from one school to another. I'll see kids who are really attentive, really tuned in, and other schools where they're not. And I'm just going to play to trying to hook, we're just trying to hook in however we can to kids.
You're also on the front lines of getting these kids interested in music, getting these kids interested in the arts, getting these kids interested in some sort of musical / theatrical experience.
Yeah. And we do play up the theatrics as well. We'll always make a big entrance. And we try to make a big spectacle and
in
be
some
exciting.
Cases, it's the first time the kids will see a show.
Yeah.
And that is really cool. I would think for you and for them, obviously.
Oh yeah. Well, we each time we get in front of kids and we're thinking, oh, how are we gonna? It's always a great challenge looking at the audience that's in front of you and thinking, what song are we gonna play now? What are we gonna do? We'll jump out and do the limbo with them, or whatever we're inspired to do, seeing them, and hopefully we're inspiring them.
Yeah. It's interesting. Obviously, this is your job, but I, I'll go out and I'll speak, and I can speak to a group and have no problem, and that's fine. But kids just scare the hell out of me. You don't know what's going to come out of their mouths.
True.
But that must be. That's sort of working without a net, which is exciting. That's like live radio. I love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But you never know what's going to come out, or who's going to puke on the kid next to him, or whatever's going to happen.
Oh, yes. Well, we've experienced a lot with kids climbing on stage. I can remember one show just trying to save a kid from who's wrapped in a cable, knocking the mic was about to hit him in the head. Whoa. It keeps us on our toes.
but obviously brings you back for more of wanting to do it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're all it's just an exciting proposition to. We drive together. We all fit in a Subaru mostly, and we're talking about what we're gonna do, or what when we come back from the show, what happened, and whether we should try that again or...
You're going to be performing at 4 o'clock on June 9th at the Rosendale Cafe in Rosendale. It's the CD release party for Invisible Friends, the new CD. And then you're going to be at, what, at the Clearwater Festival?
Clearwater Festival both days the next weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of shows coming up, the Mid-Hudson Children's Museum in Poughkeepsie the next weekend. And Brooklyn. We got a few things coming up. So
if you check out dogsonfleas.com.
Dog on fleas.
I apologize. That's dog on fleas. Yeah, I wrote it wrong. dogonfleas.com. You can find out all the information on the website. All the events are there. Remember, June 9th, which is the CD release party for Invisible Friends. dogonfleas.com. Dean Jones, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. I wish you all the luck in the world. Give our best to the other two gentlemen, and thank you very much for being here, and have a great summer with your music and with the kids.
Great. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.